morning at Sharman's Temple. Sharman's Temple. And we'll be probably reading from 1 Kings chapter 5. Please, if you turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 5. 1 Kings chapter 5, and Hiram, king of Tyre, sent his servants unto Solomon, for he had heard that they had anointed him king in the room of his father. For Hiram was ever a lover of David, and Solomon sent to Hiram, saying, Thou knowest that David my father could not build an house unto the name of the Lord his God, for the wars which were about him on every side, until the Lord put them under the soles of his feet. But now the Lord my God hath given me rest on every side, so that there is neither adversity nor evil occurrent. And behold, I purpose to build an house unto the name of the Lord my God, as the Lord spake unto David my father, saying, Thy son, whom I will set upon thy throne in thy room, he shall build a house unto my name. Now therefore, command thou that they hew me cedar trees out of Lebanon, and my servants shall be with thy servants, and unto thee will I give hire for thy servants according to all that thou shalt appoint. For thou knowest that there is not among us any that can skill to hew timber like unto the Sidonians. And it came to pass, when Hiram heard the words of Solomon, that he rejoiced greatly and said, Blessed be the Lord of this day, which hath given unto David a wise son over this great people. And Hiram sent to Solomon, saying, I have considered the things which thou sentest to me for, and I will do all thy desire concerning timber of cedar and concerning timber of fir. And then move on to chapter 6. Move on to chapter 6 and verse 1. And it came to pass in the 480th year, after the children of Israel were come out of the land of Egypt, in the fourth year of Solomon's reign over Israel, in the month of Ziph, which is the second month, that he began to build the house of the Lord. And the house which King Solomon built for the Lord, the length thereof was 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof 20 cubits, and the height thereof 30 cubits. And then we move on to verse 7. And the house, when it was made in building, was built of stone, made ready before it was brought thither, so that there were neither hammer nor axe nor any tool of iron heard in the house while it was in the building. And then move on to verse 15. And he built the walls of the house within with boards of cedar, both the floor of the house and the walls of the ceiling, and he covered them on the inside with wood, and covered the floor of the house with the planks of fir. And then verse 20, and the oracle in the fourth part was 20 cubits in length, and 20 cubits in breadth, and 20 cubits in height thereof, and he overlaid it with pure gold, and so covered the altar which was of cedar. And then moving on to verse 38. And in the 11th year, in the month Bul, which is the 8th month, was the house finished throughout all the parts thereof, and according to all the fashion of it, so was he 7 years in building. And then chapter 8, verses 10 and 11. And it came to pass, when the priests were come out of the holy place, that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the house had filled the house of the Lord. Verse 27. Then Solomon says, But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee, how much less this house that I have built. Yet have thou respect unto the prayer of thy servant, and to his supplication, O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry and to the prayer which thy servant prayeth unto thee today. And then verse 65 and 66 of chapter 8. And at that time Solomon held a feast, and all Israel with him, a great congregation from the entering in of Hamath unto the river of Egypt, before the Lord our God, 7 days and 7 days, even 14 days. On the 8th day he sent the people away, And they blessed the king and went out and went unto their tents, joyful and glad of heart for all the goodness that the Lord had done for David his servant and for Israel his people. And then moving on into the New Testament, verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy. Which temple are ye? And then lastly, in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19 onwards. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all things fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. And God will bless the reading of his word. Shall we ask God for his help? Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee once again for the reading of thy word. We thank thee, Father, for what thy word tells us. And we thank thee, O Lord, that we can gather of what I'm going to say. And we pray, O Lord, that thou may help, that the Holy Spirit may lead, Father, and everything that is said may be for thy glory. And so, Father, we look up to thee for help. And we pray, O Lord, that everybody will be blessed through the reading of thy word. And so, in thy precious and gracious name we ask. Amen.
Amen.
Now Solomon's temple is obviously quite a big passage on its own, and it's quite intricate. And so it's not my desire today to look at the intricate details of it. I would probably be more interested in looking in per se at the process that is involved in the building. Now, it has been God's desire from days past to dwell with his people. You know, when you go into the book of Genesis, you read of God's desire to dwell with Adam and to have fellowship with him. And we understand that when sin came in, that opportunity was broken, and since then on, the desire of the people was not always to dwell with God. There have been incidents, or there have been individuals who had that desire, and to those who had that desire, God would dwell with him. We've got examples as Enoch, we've got examples as Abraham, and these men looked up to God and desired his company, and God was always available to go and dwell with to be with these people. But it was not long after that that God called out a nation, and he called out a nation as a people out of Egypt. And these people were his chosen people, and it was his desire to dwell with him. We think of the moment when the nation of Israel had crossed the Red Sea, and we think of Moses and his people singing that our God is great, and he will dwell among his people. And then so on and so forth, that desire was always there. And when we come into the book of Exodus chapter 25, we read that God gives Moses explicit instructions. And he said in verse 8, "And let them make me a sanctuary that I might dwell among them." And so Moses was given thereon in chapter 25 onwards, he was given instructions to build the tabernacle, and he built it. And it says that, in chapter 40, "Thus did Moses according to all that the Lord commanded him, so did he. And a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle, and Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory filled the temple." And so we see God coming and dwelling in his people, and we think that he dwelt in a tent at that moment of time. And then as we have read, Solomon then built the temple as commanded. And we read that the house, when the temple was completed, God was again pleased. And we think that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, and the priests could not stand there. So the tent was built, and the temple was built, and God came and dwelt with his people. And then, as we moved on, we go into the book of Ezra, and we think about building of the second temple. and we think of the work that was done by Zerubbabel, and we think of the temple. In Ezekiel, we read again in 43 and 4, the glory of the Lord entered the temple through the gate facing east. Then the Spirit lifted me up and brought me into the inner court, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And so throughout history, what was made the holy temple, it was only possible because God, because of the way that men had followed the instructions of God, that God came and dwelt with his people. But when you come into the New Testament, we think of the dwelling of God himself. And, pardon me for that. And we think of the Lord Jesus Christ coming himself. And he came and he dwelt with his people. But we know that he was rejected and he was crucified by them. But then as we read in 1 Corinthians chapters 3 and 16, that every believer today has got the Spirit of God indwelling within him. He's got the Spirit of God indwelling within him. And then as we read in Ephesians chapter 2 and 19, every believer is in the Lord Jesus a living stone in this spiritual house. So not only individually we are the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, but united as we come, that we are a stone that will be building the assembly of the God's people. And so what I want to do today is, if I can do it properly, is to look at this subject of building of the temple, keeping in mind the importance that it is a place where God wanted to dwell. It was a place that it was his desire, and not only he wanted to dwell, it was his desire to dwell. And keep in mind in the background that we individuals are there, and we dwell with the Holy Spirit within. And so we keep that in the background of our mind. So when I looked at the subject of building the temple, and I looked at the chapters and I read through it, now there's a lot of intricate detail given. And in this detail that was given, I never thought that we could cover all of this in the time that was given. So what I was thinking was to look at it from the in terms of the process. And so my mind went about thinking, how would a person who wants to build a house, how would it take up a project? And so I was thinking in terms of the entire process that was taken over to build the temple. And we will look at it in that way, not go in depth, but look at it in terms of building the temple. And so I broke it down in the different stages of building a project or doing a project. And I looked at it in terms of the desire that is required to build. The desire that is required to build. And we'll think a little bit in this under of David's desire to build. And then we'll think a little bit about the responsibility. Not only people have desires to build their own houses, but it is that if you have to take the responsibility to build. And so we'll think about the response, and we'll think about Solomon's responsibility. And then once the responsibility and the desire has come, we'll look for a place to build. And we'll think about the place that was given, and we'll think about the place to build. And not only the place, once you know that there's a place, then you go to an architect and you think of the plan that is required to build. And we'll think a little bit about the plan that is required to build. And then we'll think, after the plan is given, we'll think about the materials to build. We'll think about the builders who will involve. And finally, we will think about the completion of the whole building and the presence of God in the building. And so we'll think it under these headings: the desire to build, the responsibility to build, the place required to build, the plan required to build, resources required to build, and the builders required to build. And we'll think at the end of the completion of the temple. Now, when we think of the desire to build, if you don't have the desire to build, you understand that you will never be able to build anything if there is no desire whatsoever. And so here I was thinking more of David's desire. You know, when you come into 1 Chronicles chapter 17, you read that David's thoughts turn towards the temple of the Lord. And he's sitting in his house and he says to Prophet Nathan that, "Here I am living in a house of cedar, as the Lord and the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord is in the tent." And so this thing was bothering David, that I'm being a king, is living in a house which is permanent, in a house which is good, but the one who is higher than me is living in a place of tent. And so we see that Nathan encouraged David to go ahead and say, okay, you go ahead and build it, until the Lord came and spoke to Nathan and told him of his plans. And Nathan comes and tells David, saying that you are not the one to build the temple. It will be your son who will be building the temple. And so here, I'm thinking of David's desire, and that desire is of giving God a higher place. You know, it is always good to have that desire as individuals, to give God that place which is higher than the position that we give. Sometimes we forget, you have to pardon me with the throat. Sometimes we forget that the way we live our lives, we forget that God is someone who is the creator God. God is someone who is responsible for where we are in our lives. And yet we forget to give him the higher place. And we're thinking here of David, who wants to give God a higher place. You know, if we, in things of God and things of the assembly, you know, sometimes if we do not have the desire, there'll be difficulty in building. And here we are thinking of one who is looking to desire, having a desire to build. And then I thought about what God said to David and why he was not allowed to build. And I was thinking of the environment that has to be there for someone to build a place. God says to David that you are a man of wars and there is blood in your hands. And I'm thinking that the environment that is conducive to build has got to be an environment where there is rest. When there is rest. And so David, in 1 Chronicles 28, he says, "You have much blood and have fought many wars. You are not to build a house for my name because you have shed much blood on the earth in my sight." Now, as I said, you know, David, God wanted his house to be a house of peace, a house of prayer, we read in Isaiah. And with one who had his hands full of blood, God would not give him the opportunity to build, you know. And it is the same when you think of our own lives. We're thinking of us as being the dwelling place of God. And if the environment of our hearts, if the environment that we have within our hearts is not conducive, the dwelling place of God will never be there. And so it is with the assembly as well, with things in the assemblies. However hard the desire may be there, you know, and it is there, and we live our lives that way, you know. There is the desire to do things for God. But when times come, when times pass away, then we don't keep that conduciveness that is required to let that desire to prosper. And so here I'm thinking of God's desire and David's desire, but yet God telling him the environment was not conducive to build the house. I also thought about, you know, when God said to David that you are not going to build, yet David was very happy with that. You know, he went and he thanked the Lord and he prayed to the Lord. And not only did he do that, but he made the preparations for his son Solomon to enable him to build the temple. And here I'm thinking again, once again, of a man who was not allowed to do things, even though there was the desire that he had. But yet he is happy in the success of others, albeit it is his son, but yet he is happy in the success that God has given him that position. And God has blessed him. And I'm thinking of this here in terms of our own desires and our own happiness with the others. We've got to be able to help others to grow up in the Lord and help them in terms of whatever we can to help them grow. And so we thought about David's desire. But what about Solomon's responsibility? I was thinking of Solomon's responsibility and I went and looked at how old Solomon was. Now the Bible doesn't talk explicitly of his age. There were many commentators who have different varied age given to Solomon. Some start off by 12, some go on to 20, and so on. But whatever said and done, Solomon, it says, was a young man who took up that responsibility. You know, in today's age, if you tell somebody in the professional world or in the world of management that here is a project which is a huge project that I want, would you be able to give it to somebody to build? Would you have that confidence to give it to somebody to build? But here was a young man who was ready to take that responsibility, and he was ready to take on that responsibility. In 1 Kings we read, didn't we? "And behold, I purpose to build a house unto the name of the Lord my God, as the Lord spake unto David my father, saying, Thy son, whom I will set upon thy throne in thy room, he shall build an house unto my name." And so here I'm thinking about Solomon's responsibility. Being a young man, he was ready to build. For a moment I then thought, what would have happened if Solomon would have said, "You know what, I do not want to build the temple." You know, he would say, "It's right that my father has the desire, It is right that it is God's will for me to build this temple. But if he would have to say, I'm not bothered. I'm just going to leave it. I don't think it is my cup of tea. I'm just going to leave it. What would have happened? You know, it would not have been a loss to God. I'm sure God would have put somebody else up there to build the temple. But it was not so. It would have been a bigger loss for Solomon. You know, he was known for his riches. He was known for his wisdom. And he was known for the temple that he built. But if he would have declined the opportunity to take that responsibility, it would have been a loss for Solomon himself. And I'm thinking of us here. You know, we as young men at times have got the responsibility and to take things up. You know, there have been men who have come to this very hall and God has gifted them and they have taken the responsibility that they had. And they have kept the assembly the way they could. And they have taught, you know, the way what God wanted them to teach. And now it is the responsibility of us to take it forward. We have to be like Solomon, you know, desire to take the responsibility to go forward and do the job. Now when we were reading for the 1 Kings chapter 5, we read about King Hiram, didn't we? And what I'm thinking what about is that when you are ready to take the responsibility, there is willingness of God's people to help. There is willingness of people to help. Because God will make sure that everything that is responsible, everything that you require, will be made available for you to build the temple. Now King Hiram, we see, he was a man. And about King Hiram, we see that he was ready to help Solomon. He actually rejoiced greatly. And he said, blessed be the Lord this day, which hath given unto David a wise son over his great people. And yes, and he was willing to help. And not only Hiram was there to help, but David, his father, had also prepared a lot of things for Solomon. A lot of gold, a lot of silver, a lot of gems. And he had made all these things ready to do this thing. Finally, as we came into chapter 6 and verse 1, we think that Solomon took 4 years before he started to build the temple. He did not immediately jump into building the temple. There was preparation from him. 4 years he took time to get things organized. And there was Solomon who went in to go to build the temple. You know, I'm thinking of a son here. And this son took on the responsibility. And I'm thinking of us as heirs, joint heirs with God. And I think the responsibility it is of us to build the temple, to build a house for God, where God can dwell and where God, and where the glory of God can be shown. And so we thought of responsibility. What about the place that is required to build? The place that is required to build. See, when you think of building a house, you know, you look at a lot of things. You look at the different amenities that are required. You look at the closeness, how close it is to your school. You look at how close you are to your friends. You look at how close it is to your workplace. Sometimes you think of sceneries, how good the scenery is. Our friend wanted to buy a house. Of course, it was a ready-made house and everything was set. But when the market plunged, he said, oh, I will not be able to sell this house in 10 years. And he did not buy that place. And so you think about a lot of things you have to take into consideration when you want to buy the place. Now, Solomon never had to do that. Solomon never had to think about all these things. For the place that Solomon was going to build the temple, that was a place that was divinely given. When you come into Deuteronomy chapter 12, in Deuteronomy chapter 12, we read this, chapter 12 and 10, and he says, and God says, but when ye go over Jordan and dwell in the land which the Lord your God giveth you to inherit, and when he giveth you rest from all your enemies round about, so that ye dwell in safety, then, verse 11 of chapter 12, then there shall be a place which the Lord your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. Thither shall he bring all that I command, your burnt offerings and your sacrifices, your tithes and your heave offerings for your hand, and all your choice vows which ye vow unto the Lord. And so God had a place in mind. God had a place in mind for Solomon because of the importance that God places of dwelling with his people. He enables people to have those conditions that are required and the place that is required
to dwell.
Now we know that place when we were looking at second in the book of Samuel, and we were thinking of David's life. In second Samuel in chapter 24, we read that sad story of David numbering the people against God's will. And we see in that story that God was very, very upset with David. And God gave David three choices. Choices were 3 years of famine, 3 years of devastation by Israel's foes, or 3 days of destruction brought by the angel. Knowing that God was merciful, David asked God to choose the result. And the result was three terrible days of pestilence from the angel of the Lord. And we read as we went through that chapter that the angel of the Lord went about and 70,000 people lost their lives for the sin of one man. And we thought about it when we looked at 2 Samuel chapter 24. And it was at one place, just at the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite, in the place of Moriah, the angel of the Lord stopped. And when he stopped there, David was told to go and offer God sacrifice. And David goes into that place, we read, and there he goes and he asks, and he meets Ornan, and Ornan the Jebusite says, "You have that place, you can have the place." But David says there, "No, I would not offer the Lord anything that costs me nothing." And he buys that place from Ornan the Jebusite. And there he offered a sacrifice. And David says, "This is the place where the house of God was going to be built." And so here you're thinking of a place that God has given. And it is in the plains of Moriah. It is at that place where Abraham sacrificed his son. It is at this place where David has offered sacrifice. And so at that very place, the foundations of the temple of God is going to be put. It was a place that was sanctified, not by anything else, but by the blood of a slain animal. And in that place which was sanctified, God would build a temple. The Apostle Paul talks about the foundation that we have, and that he says is Christ. And he says, "For no other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." And therefore, as we come as God's people, the foundation that we have is nothing else that we talk about. The foundation is nothing else but the blood of Christ. That's why we have this up here, that we preach nothing else but Christ crucified. And that is the foundation for us, for our house of God, and for our house ourselves. You know, when you look at the number of Christians that are there in the world, the number of born-again Christians, and we are still the largest in terms of the religion in the world. And nothing else has made these people grow but the blood of Christ. And it will keep on growing. And it is something that brings us a lot of hope. Maybe they're not maybe like us, or maybe there are differences. That doesn't matter. It is all based on the blood of Christ. And that is a great thing for us to take with, that there is no basis. And in any gathering of the Lord's people, if it is based on anything of human intelligence, it is based on anything of any other things that make the assembly, it will never be successful. But it will only be successful that when it is based on the blood of Christ. And so we are thinking here of the place that was going to be built, and the place that was sanctified, and the place that was not chosen because of where it is, but it was because it was sanctified by the blood of Christ. Then what about the plan required to build? The plan required to build. Once we know that Solomon had the site, you know, he was not going to do, he didn't have to go and do the design of it. Didn't have to use CAD and things like that to get the design going. Now the pattern that was given was a pattern that was divinely given by God. If you go to 1 Chronicles 28, it says this: "Then David gave to Solomon his son the pattern of the porch, and of the house thereof, and of the treasures thereof, and of the upper chambers thereof, and of the inner parlors thereof, and the place, and of the mercy seat, and the pattern of all that he had by the spirit of the courts of the house of the Lord, and of all the chambers round about, of the treasuries of the house of God, and the treasuries of the dedicated things." And so David had received the revelation of the plan from God, and he handed over it to his son Solomon. You know, there was no earthly architect required. Solomon had a ready-made plan to follow. What was required, though, of Solomon was this: to not use his intelligence, and we can see that he didn't. He was a man of wisdom. It was not required by Solomon to make adjustments, because when a plan is divinely given, it has got to be perfect, and it was perfect. And we'll see that when we come to think about the material. No plans, everything that was given was perfect. He did not have to work for a plan. And we are thinking of ourselves and our lives. The pattern of our lives have been given by God. The pattern of our gatherings are given by God. What is required is only one thing, and that is obedience. And that is obedience. We read in 2 Timothy, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God will be strongly equipped for every good work. Do not conform, he says in Romans 12, to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and you will be able to test and approve what God's will is good and pleasing, perfect will. So the pattern is given for us. What is required for us is just to obey. And that was the success of Solomon in a lot of ways. Solomon was ready to obey. And it says that when the building was erected, that God was very happy and he came to dwell in that building. And so the plan was given for the building of Solomon's temple. Now when you come into the next part of the building work is quite intricate. There's a lot of things given about what was built. It was built, there was the inside, there was different kinds of material used, there were different kinds of woods used, there was stone used, and there was gold used, and there was silver used, and there was brass used, and different kinds of material that were used. So I thought of looking at it in just terms of just three headings, just three headings. There was the stone that was used, there was the timber that was used, and there was the coal, and there was the metal that was used. So wood, stone, and metal, and these three elements were used. Now, majority of these elements, it was made differently inside and it was made differently outside. When you would come into look at the inside, it says that the walls were made of stone, and they were covered with a timber. They were covered with cedar wood, and then this all of this was covered with gold. When you went outside, it was not gold; it was covered by brass. And so, here what I'm trying to think is this: that why does God place the importance of so much? I'm thinking that inside it is pure gold; it is majestic, because it is the dwelling place of the Most High God. The importance is of the inside. And here I'm thinking once again of our dwelling place. How have we got our hearts? Is it majestic inside for God to come and dwell? Or there are other elements in it which would not allow God to dwell in the heart. But the place that was made inside the temple was majestic. It was made of stone. Now it says that these stones were cut in the quarry. There was no stone was cut at the site of the temple. It was done on the quarry, and it was brought in, and it was set in its place. And what a good thing it is for us to know that we are like that as well. We have been sanctified by the blood of Christ. And today there is no cuts in us because of the work of Christ that is there. And when people do the building work, they bring the stone in and they cut it a little bit to make it fit the places. That was nothing that was required. The stone that was cut, and it fit right into the place where it had to fit. And what a good example this is for us to understand that these were materials that were used. And so they were materials that were used to make the house. And it says even the floor of the house was covered with gold, pure gold. See, it talks about the wood which covers the stone, and it says and I read about it, that the cedar wood is a wood that is incorruptible. It is incorruptible, and this incorruptible wood was laid with pure gold. And so these are the materials that were used. What about the builders that were required? Now, if you were to think about the builders, you put these builders into three broad categories. They were those men who were required to work on the timber. There were men who were required to work on the stone and the quarries, and there were men who were required to work in the metal. Now you understand that a man who works
in the stone cutting would really not be great. He may be able to do a job, but he will not be good as a man who works in the timber. And a man who works in the timber may really not be good as working in the metal. And here it speaks to me of an assembly. You know, everyone in the assembly has got a different role. Each I think that these are the skills that we all bring to the assembly of God's people. Not everyone is teachers. Not everyone is good in evangelism. Not everyone is good in doing the work associated with the assembly. But God has brought people, like He's brought those stones away which were cut and placed them in place. If we were to be like that, to allow God to use us that way, I think the building that will come up will be a magnificent building. And so Solomon's building was great. It was, you know, there was a lot of work that was required to finish the building. And it says that when the building was completed, we read about it that the glory of the Lord came and dwelt in. Now it says that the building was 90 feet long and 30 feet wide and 45 feet high. So it was not a huge building, you know, very, very rich building. It was a very rich building, and it was a building in which God could dwell. And here I'm thinking once again at times, you know, that we're thinking of the size at times of the assembly of God's people, and we are thinking, you know, that we may be small in numbers at times, but what is required for us is that within the inside of us, there should be that richness. There should be that place where God could dwell. It took 7 years to complete, and after 7 years, it says the building was it, and he says God came and dwelt in that building. And what a great thing it is to know that God had blessed that building, and he came. You know, so what sort of building are we? The question is, or what sort of a building are we building? I think to make this place also a place where God's glory will come and dwell, build a place to His name, where everyone will be able to see, not only from the outside, but they could see when they come and visit us, that this is a place that is rich. Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. We thank Thee, Father, for the lessons that we can take from Thy Word. We thank Thee, Father, that at times we ourselves are not working to Thy glory. And hence, Father, we see that buildings that we build may at times not be a place that is... Father, that Thou may help us in our endeavors, that we may desire what David desired, and we may have a responsibility like Solomon to build a place that will be for Thy glory, when where God will come and will be put up, and that people may be able to see. So help us, Lord, in our endeavor. Now as we depart, be Thou with us, help us and keep us. In Thy precious and gracious name we are.